Some of you are aware that I have started taking lessons in drawing. And the very first lesson I had, the teacher showed me something that I'm not sure I can duplicate at all. And that is, with his practiced eye, he looked at the picture that I was copying and identified a central line, a particular line that I needed to focus on, because so much around that line was focused on that part of the drawing. I wasn't sure exactly, I'm still not sure exactly how you identify that line, but he said there is one line in each piece that is the most important place to kind of focus on. Then in one of the books that I'm reading about this, the author says this about each drawing. If I had only one line, where should it be placed to reflect the movement or action of the piece? And he calls that one line that he would use to show the piece's action, the line of action. The line of action, or the central line in Christianity, is the simple declaration that God is love. It is the line of action, though, because it's important that we not only declare it, but that we live it out in everyday choices and relationships. Seeking God by loving others, by pursuing that line of action, requires, though, a generosity of spirit. In our reading today from 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks about generosity, and he's speaking primarily about economic generosity, about giving financially to a church, which I certainly would like to be on record as saying I'm not against that. But I think also there is a place in this reading to think about generosity of spirit. He said, "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." And then he approaches them with this, "I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need." I believe that in our culture today, the present abundance that the church needs to share with others is not economic, it's spiritual. We know God loves us. We know we have value in God's eyes. And we are obligated to share that knowledge generously with others. The equating of God with love is something that I think is stated perfectly in a hymn that's familiar to many people, especially if you've ever been to a Taizé service. The hymn is called Ubi Caritas. In Latin, the line says, "Ubi Caritas et amor Deus ibi est." I don't really do Latin, so I had to look it up. And it says, "Where there is love and kindness, God is there." That is the line of action in the Christian faith. Now, I know that it all sounds very fluffy, and very few people would argue with the idea of loving one another. But when it becomes a line of action, something that we have to do something about, we hesitate. Actually loving, not just conceptualizing it, requires hard work and attention and a willingness to embrace where others exclude. Changing the world by loving as God loves us and asks us to love, changing the world requires two different kinds of approaches, two forms. It requires a personal form and a social form. Harry Emerson Fosdick, a theologian, wrote that no one can hope to save the world without saving people. He actually said saving men, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt. But neither can one hope to save people without saving the world. They are one. You cannot really be in earnest about saving personality and still neglect the social life from which personality springs, and by which it is tremendously affected. He goes on to say that too long have we been concerned in Christianity with rejecting the world, with saying we're part of another world and we need to reject this world. He says that the true antidote to what is wrong with the world today is not unworldly but better worldliness. Don't just bash the world and say, lament how bad it is. Do something to make it better in the system part of it. Living in this Christian way, the better worldly way, requires attention to both the individual and the society. He goes on to say, the church's best gift to society is redeemed personality. But redeemed personality's best gift to mankind is a better world, more fit to be a home for the family of God. So he says, and I agree, that we are to work with persons one-on-one and love them and take care of them and forgive them and show them loving kindness. But in the meantime, we have to work on the system that is forming people. Our opening prayer today, our collect, said, grant us to be so joined together in unity of spirit by the teaching of the apostles, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. In our Christian unity, we often pray for others. Last week, in the wake of the Charleston shooting, we prayed for the victims, and many places prayed for those persons by name. The hard part of this line of action is that we have to pray also for those who do the hurting. Dylan Roof, in this case, or Adam Lanza, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris from Columbine, and close to home here at Pearl High School, Luke Woodham. We need to pray for and work for a world which makes their hearts so confident in God's love and in their own worth that they don't feel the need to do violence to others. One of the most frightening and heartbreaking things I've ever seen was a quote from Luke Woodham after his shooting spree at the high school. They said something about, you're a good student, you're smart, you know, why would you do something like this? And he said, being a good student doesn't get you on CNN. This is the kind of people that are being formed in our society. Is it our fault? No. But there's something we can do to improve the system that forms people. The finding of much psychology, after all, is that what we think we lack determines what we will become in life. Some of us channel that feeling that we lack something into something very positive, but others channel it into something that is destructive. So the individual has to take responsibility. I'm not saying let's change society so all of this, because all of this is our fault. But I am saying we have to create an environment which forms people who make good choices and subsequently do take responsibility if they make mistakes. So how do we care for the individual side of this, nurturing the good? We respect the dignity of every human being. We stop and listen instead of looking at our phones and wishing we could get on to our next thing. As self-serving as it might sound, we invite people to church. Not so that St. Peter's can be a bigger church, but because this is a place where people can find solace and a sense of value, a sense of depth, amid a culture that is too often focused on the superficial. So if we're able to help people one-on-one, how then do we address the environment or the system? We get involved with churches and schools and libraries and shelters and charities and, yes, even politics. We don't like the way some of those organizations are going, but having more good, conscientious people involved in them would make a difference. We give money and time to organizations which form the individual in positive ways. We recognize our culture's tendency to glorify the superficial, and we choose for ourselves to glorify the substantive instead. We let our Christian practice inform our ethics. We stop rationalizing and change our own approach to life when necessary, so that the church can be seen as a place of solace and truth and mercy. We come here to be formed into the image of Christ and to help others be formed into the image of Christ. We love our church family here, and we need to use the unity of spirit that we have here to go out and love another person, very often the person who seems by the world to be unlovable. Then we start working on the system. Our wisdom reading today says that God created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them. We come here to learn how to become part of the generative forces, reducing the chance for the destructive poisons to form and spread. Very often we feel like we can't do anything because problems are too big to get our arms around. But we can get our arms around one person. We can help with one person's sense of self-worth, of significance, in our eyes and in God's. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is not demanding complete renunciation of this world, but he is asking them, in a way, for a better worldly approach. A fair balance between your present abundance and others' need. Our present abundance is the love of God and others, and it is the most important gift we share as the church. So the artist instruction book says, if I had only one line, where would it be placed? In Christianity, where would it be placed to reflect the movement or action of our faith? It's the direct line from one person to another in a relationship that declares that every person is sacred in God's eyes and in ours. The line of action says, I will no longer claim that the world is lost in such a big way that I can do nothing to change it, that I will draw the image of God with small lines by respecting every person I encounter, and with bold lines that say our system isn't working and our society must change dramatically in what we value. For every Christian, the line of action is this. Ubi Caritas, where there is love and kindness, God is there. God is here. God empowers us to make the bold decision to love others no matter what society says of them. And that is the line of action that begins to draw the portrait of Christ on earth.